I've had an exciting day.
Yeah?
Because all the Pepto and Imodium I drank on the day I was sick all caught up with me.
At least it was your day off.
So it's been this incredibly foul, gray clay. Like, if there were a ghost, I could shape it into like a vase. A very stinky vase made of poo.
Wow.
So I keep hoping JD is going to show up and help me with it.
Oh.
Because that sounds like something his ghost would do for me.
Yeah. Yeah.
It does. It does. I just got the worst mental image in my life.
Best mental
image. I'm glad I missed that.
This is Superhero Time with XV.
Don't hate the Transformers, hate the fans.
Hey, Mickey.
You know who else I hate? The Irish.
Paladin.
Bring it on, pony f***ers.
Ken.
I will end you.
And Fort Max.
We're getting up scales.
Unfortunately, I cut the recording before you said that, so...
That's okay, because you're cutting to a Muppets clip, right?
It's time to play the music.
No, see, the problem now is I want to actually go find a Muppets clip to run into the show at that point, and I don't know if I want to actually go to that much trouble.
Oh, God, you need to get the balcony guys to comment on the show.
Hmm. But don't we kind of do that ourselves?
No, but they can talk about how terrible the show is.
But
don't we kind of do that ourselves?
What's wrong with you?
It's either this show or indigestion. I hope it's indigestion.
Why?
It'll get better in a little while.
So anyway, Superhero Time. Sadly, lacking in Statler and Waldorf. But in our hearts, we are all Statler and Waldorf.
Aren't we?
We should be.
Especially Paladin.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think Ken is Scooter.
Hmm. Okay. That's different.
Then who's Skeeter?
Fort Max's Beaker.
Yes.
Hmm.
Does that mean we need to get him to sing Carol of the Bells next Christmas?
I was actually kind of thinking Fort Max would be the Swedish Chef.
Well, no, that's Gigabeetle, obviously.
But we don't have Gigabeetle here enough.
We have him here enough.
Swedish Chef isn't. But think about it, he's Swedish in cooking challenges.
Yeah, but Fort Max is the most incomprehensible here.
Is point.
Beaker's a bit more incomprehensible than Swedish Chef.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I guess officially Gigabeetle is the Swedish Chef of Superhero Time.
Speaking of which, Giga, where's the grits report?
Yeah, that was a
while
back.
Like, I want to know, but I don't want to know.
It hasn't been that long since he got the package of grits, right?
Maybe he was eating all the grits before he does a final report.
Did you mail him grits?
Yes. A full 12 packets. A variety pack, that.
Wait, there's variety packs of grits?
Yeah.
My goodness.
Okay,
yeah,
Now,
have you not been to a grocery store?
Well, my family.
Do you know how many varieties of grits there are?
My family background is from the north, so like grits is not really a thing that's in my consciousness.
You're a cream of wheat person, aren't you?
No.
Gross.
Oatmeal.
No. So, how many different kinds of grits are there?
Lots.
Well, there's like four or five different kinds of cheese, mm-hmm. And then there's with or without artificial butter, and there's some with like. Bacony chunks and gravy chunks.
Okay, so that makes sense. It's kind of the same way you can get varieties of instant mashed potatoes.
Yeah.
Yeah, basically.
Okay, I understand that perfectly.
Yeah, it makes a negligible difference on the flavor, but...
Just like the mashed potatoes.
Yeah. Because really, when you're eating grits, the only thing you're really eating it for is the butter anyway.
Right.
Really, it's true.
Just like the mashed potatoes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now,
don't we talk about tofu sometimes?
That's as opposed to baked potatoes, though.
That's
we're
the
only
rumor, yes.
With baked potatoes, you're only eating it for the sour cream and the cheese.
Sometimes the bacon.
Yeah, well...
And penises as well.
What kind of baked potatoes do you make?
Do you have to ask that?
For comedy's sake, yes.
Now ask what the bacon bits are from.
What are the bacon bits from?
No, that was a rhetorical question.
I know, that's why I asked, because I wanted
and
to put
I want
you on
a
the spot.
Rhetorical answer.
Okay, well, that ran into a wall. So, Paladin, what's been in the news in just the last 7 days?
We got a trailer for the Gaim Hyper Battle DVD. Featuring a new combo, Fresh Orange Arms.
Oh, Hyper Battle videos.
What's so fresh about it?
It's shinier.
And apparently they're going to be mixing up the arms on the other riders.
They replaced all the silver with orange.
They remembered that the other riders can arms change.
So what do you think? Like magazine mail away exclusive chrome orange arms?
Probably something like that.
Fresh.
You just put new paint on blood orange arms. It's not like anyone bought that in the first place.
Hyper battle videos are fun. Hopefully we'll see this someday.
Both of those get subbed.
By someone other than TV Nihon?
It varies. Didn't Overtime do O's?
They did the they did the Busters one, and they did the Forza one.
Okay, so still, that's a good sign.
Yeah.
They usually do ones that aren't multiple
your own
choice
adventure.
Hell for encoding.
Yeah, they did anyway with the Forza one.
Well, that's because those DVDs had them with just the straight video as well as the multiple choicing.
Okay.
All right, so what else?
Well, there's going to be a Kamen Rider Gaim video game on the 3DS eShop.
Ugh. It looks so awful. I'm glad that it's not cross-compatible with American 3DSs, so I don't have to buy it.
Let me see here. What's this?
It's like a side-scrolling platformer through Helheim.
What in the f***ing hell?
Through hell.
Well.
It's like Excitebike themed with Gaim.
With a little bit of Mario thrown in, too, I think.
What are you smoking?
Paperboy themed to Gaim would probably be more fun.
What in the f***ing hell?
Paperboy was never fun.
You just played it because you didn't...
It was always exercise and frustration.
You just played it because you didn't have anything else to play.
Yes, basically.
A lot of Nintendo games, actually.
Yeah.
Like, how many of y'all played Bart Simpson versus the Space Mutants just
because
it
was
there?
That I played Bart's Nightmare.
Same difference, really.
What was the one that was like Lemmings?
That was Krusty's Super Funhouse.
I remember playing that.
Yeah, that looks like shit. So, what's next?
Well, for the first time ever, we have actual ABBA Ranger subs.
Yeah, and apparently...
Ooh.
And apparently, they are almost done with it.
They want... It's done by Imagination Station, the people who first tried out Tokyuger.
If it's anything like their Tokyuger, it's not that great.
Ouch.
Still,
well,
ABBA Ranger's never been subbed before. This could, you know,
some
lead
of it's
to
been subbed.
Better things and maybe even more competent groups in the... Subbing department.
Midnight Crew subbed the first, like, 9 episodes.
Woo! 9 whole episodes. Out of 50.
True,
can you
but
still
it's...
find those?
But it's unfair to say that nobody subbed it before.
Why'd they stop?
Didn't the translator run away?
And then Seer kind of picked it up as a joint, and then Magenta got burnt out by Smile.
See? Smile ruins everything.
But he's being renewed by Fruit, so maybe this can be picked up later.
I checked
out these first 2 episodes, and I liked it. Still think Dino Thunder has the better music, though.
You also like the Peabody and Sherman movie, so...
What?
Yeah, the rest of you would despise that.
I haven't seen it, so I can't judge, but that doesn't...
No, you can judge.
Can I?
Yeah.
Completely.
It's superhero time. We do that.
in the movie, Mr. Peabody actually likes Sherman.
Oh, bullshit!
That's what I'm saying.
So what else is there? I'm depressed now.
All right, Figuarts, Masked Rider, Super Gold, and Super Blue are on display in prototype form.
Prototype form.
It should be out later this year if we're lucky.
Yeah.
Now you say lucky.
Well, it's like,
it's an objective term.
It's Kamen Rider Black. We'll get them. They'll come out. I'm not worried about those.
But do you
care? I assume they also come with the their versions of the bikes as well.
Yes. Those were on display.
As two packs, then?
I wouldn't rule it out, to
figure in bike packs like Garen was?
No, the bikes come in a two-pack by themselves.
Well, I mean, that could, too. Be a good way to, like, you know, entice people to buy both figures, because if you want one bike, you have to have the other one, then you need somebody to ride the other bike.
No, they should sell them as Build-A-Figures. So you got to buy all four of them to get the parts to build one complete figure.
No. Okay, so you are thinking of it the way I am. You buy the bikes, and each one comes with a piece of a figure.
Yeah,
okay. All right, cool.
Like, you get Super Blue's torso and up, and then Super Gold's legs and down with one bike.
Of course.
But the important thing we heard about is Figuarts Bravo, a September Thomas E. Webb exclusive.
I guess we've already heard about him.
We have, but we didn't get a release.
We didn't know the release date or the price yet.
Oh, okay.
He's 4,860 yen.
$50.
And he comes with a wine glass.
Good.
So, Mickey, you know, since you...
But he doesn't come with the couch, does he?
No.
But Giga Beetle can help you find a way to get a couch. So, Mickey, you did go through a middleman to get the arms change, Bravo. Are you going to go for the Figuarts also?
No, there's no reason, because the arm changes are accurate enough, and they're more fun.
The Figuart would be out of scale with arm changes just a little bit, just enough to notice...
Yeah. I wasn't sure how much your, you know, fandom of Bravo carried into
how obsessive I'd be about them
opening his packaging.
Well, you know,
as damn those spikes,
about $80 to get them middlemaned. No, I'm happy with just one.
Okay, that's fair.
Yeah, you know, if this shit was released stateside, you know, like a Toys R Us, then yeah, I probably would go completist.
Or like, what if it was, you know, Amazon for $40?
It's probably the most dangerous figure ever released, though. That would never make it to Toys R Us.
Every last spike would have a little round nub added to the tip.
Aren't safety spikes.
So, news?
Okay, the last thing of note this week is a new trailer for a Super Sentai parody special called Kanpai Senshi After V.
Five.
And this is a show about what the Super Sentai members do in their after hours after they kill the villains. Apparently they have a bar and a karaoke machine.
It's a Kiba Ranger.
With old people.
There is also a little teaser out there for Tokuja versus Gaim, too.
Yeah, but that's like 15 seconds.
Yes, but still. Notable.
And it's starring Kamen Rider Drake and Useless.
Well, then.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Also, the giant-sized Godzilla toy is out now, apparently.
A lot of the Toys R Us's are breaking the street date for the new Godzilla figures. They're not supposed to be out until April.
I have to admit, I'm kind of tempted to buy a Godzilla that can go toe-to-toe with Metroplex.
How much is it?
I don't know the price on it.
Well, it's Toys R Us, so it's probably too much.
Probably. Mm-hmm. But 24 inches tall and 40 inches long, that's a good enough scale to do some fun things with. Quiet you.
I didn't say anything.
I wasn't talking to you.
Oh.
That was the peanut gallery.
Oh. Had the same reaction I did?
Yes.
Okay, so anything else going on this week?
We did get a teaser image of the art style for the upcoming new Sailor Moon show.
Oh, yes. They actually announced the title for it and a start date, apparently. And the basic staff.
That's right. This is going to be a thing at one point, and then it never happened. I remember that.
Sailor Moon.
And now it's still supposed to happen.
Yeah, Sailor Moon Crystal in July, evidently.
So, yay. Good for that.
Usagi, what the fuck is going on with your hair?
Well,
I think
it's
come
alive. Did you put an octopus on your head?
It seems to be going...
it's Japan.
They seem to be going for kind of a Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood thing where it's closer to the manga.
It doesn't look bad.
No.
Crazy hair, but it doesn't look bad.
Isn't necessarily a good thing, though, because she's not a very good artist.
No, but presumably someone who can draw well, or, you know, teams of people who can draw well will be just emulating the art style. Presumably that would help.
Maybe, maybe not. We'll find out if it ever starts.
It won't. Yes.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what's up with Toei on this.
Toei.
Well, yeah, but Toei also, you know, pumps out series like their water. So.
Girl.
What?
They're holding off because it's a female protagonist.
Oh.
They have a whole franchise of that. It makes them a lot of money, and this will make them a lot more money.
Thing is that Toei doesn't own Sailor Moon.
No, so. They don't.
Also, Pretty Cure is still aimed at boys, isn't it?
No. Well, it has a male audience, but...
Still?
Yeah, isn't all the toy sales to creepy old men?
Not really, no.
Oh, okay.
There's a split.
Define creepy.
DVD and Blu-ray sales, probably.
Probably.
You know, cheap like Paladin.
Yes, exactly.
In Japanese.
Somehow that's not where I thought that was going to go.
Well, I'm not allowed to make fun of Don anymore, so...
I don't think anybody ever said that.
Oh, okay, well, good.
Okay, so I guess if we've hit Sailor Moon, we're probably out of news for this week.
Yeah, it's a slow week.
So, hey, we have a listener question.
Again?
Crazy, isn't it?
No, I'm still baffled by the fact that we have a listener.
Unfortunately, we don't have Gigabeetle here this week to get someone's name wrong, but... So, Roger says, this past year I've been getting into Kamen Rider, and I must say, Kabuto is awesome. But I'm just wondering if any of these special movies like Showa vs. Heisei will show in any American theaters. Now, I know if it does, it won't be in all, but will they do special showings for these movies stateside? Love the podcast, you guys are awesome, and I seriously didn't make that last line up.
Hey, you wrote that last part?
Yes, our listener wrote that last part.
Including the, seriously didn't make that part up part?
I'll leave that to your imagination.
No, that will never happen in a million years, unfortunately.
Yeah.
This is the worst penthouse letter ever.
Yeah, I mean...
Well, where's the lesbians?
Every once in a while you get, you know, a licensed anime... Hang on, let me write that down.
I believe the last time that a Kamen Rider movie has been shown in a... I think the Sega CD Kamen Rider ZO game had most of the movie.
But that wasn't theatrical. Unless somebody hooked up their Sega CD to a projector.
And Jay in Saban's Masked Rider, but that's it.
Yeah, basically, yeah. Like, the difference between getting anime in limited theater releases and getting Kamen Rider is that anime is, like, officially licensed for release in the U.S.
Yeah, and Toei's not going to do that. Toei and Bandai are not going to have that happen unless it's something that can be marketed a la Power Rangers. And if it ever that ever happens, then it's going to be like Power Rangers. It's not going to be a straight translation.
Right.
And things will not end well for anyone.
No.
And after how disastrous Kamen Rider Dragon Knight went for them, yeah, it's going to be a long time before they try that again.
And, you know, they did do official English release for Masked Rider the First. But I believe that was just direct-to-video, and since they didn't do the sequel afterward, obviously that didn't go well either.
Also, the sequel was terrible.
That could also be due to the fact that the next was a horrible piece of shit.
And the sequel was worse? Wow.
The next was the sequel.
Oh, sorry. Well, the first wasn't very good either.
No, it was not.
Yeah.
And the next was.
But
worse.
It still looked. But it looks like. But the first looks like still looks like a masterpiece compared to the next. So.
But that's like saying that Transformers 2007 is a masterpiece compared to Revenge of the Fallen.
Exactly.
Well, at least the first Transformers movie is tolerable.
It is.
It's inoffensive.
Yes.
Well, degrees of it.
Oh, you know, besides...
Think about how Revenge of the...
Sections of it are inoffensive.
Think about how Revenge of the Fallen was offensive on every level, and, you know, the 2007 movie was totally not.
Basically, from the moment the movie started.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
For reasons
next just like that, and it doesn't have the excuse of not having a script.
Yes. The next is like it wants to be a J-horror, but it's not. And
they had 30 years to get that story down right.
Yeah. Longer than that, even. Shit.
So yes. Yeah.
That'll never
no writer movies in American theaters. Sorry. Unless, you know, a privately owned theater decides to just, you know, do
there
that.
Are some fan subs.
Basically, yeah.
You know, they have anime conventions sometimes where you'll just walk into a tokusatsu room and, oh, hey, there it is.
Yeah, you know, they'll go and grab some TV Nihon 1080p subs and run that out on the projector. And
hey, it was good enough for Saban.
I would love to know how that footage got there.
Probably easy. The guy at Bandai putting that advert together probably couldn't find that scene and took the first video. Well, took the first result he got from Google that had it. So,
yeah, you know why the person at Bandai couldn't find that video footage raw? Because you know Bandai does takedowns. Bandai and Toei do takedowns on all of the YouTube videos. Kind of shot themselves in the foot with that.
Well, more than Super Mega Force usually does.
Oh, yeah, that's a bit of news, is that apparently they're still being insane and throwing out new powers left and right.
Yes.
I haven't been paying attention, so...
Yes, we got Flash Man and Mask Man this week.
Wow.
With not zero like explanation.
Not just like a shot of the suits, they showed them turning into them.
They're not even trying, are they?
No.
Well... Some people are, but it's not the people editing. The we got some nice new fight footage, but when it switched to the Sentai footage, it went to shit.
You know, it just seems like a really convoluted way of going about it too. Because they have to go to Gosager, then to Gokaiger, then to other teams, but then there's other powers that they don't even explain where they exist. Go on.
It's very Saban.
Ah, yeah. See, it's just the kind of thing that it's like, it's forgivable when it's an untested franchise and 20 years ago, millions of dollars later, it's kind of like, come on, guys.
Again, it's the question of, like, production values. Because, you know, they're pumping a lot into making the new shows, but the actual quality level's not increasing proportionately.
No.
It's excusable.
Because everyone just throws money at them anyway, they can keep milking that cow until its tits fall off.
I wish they will.
It's excusable.
They have tits, they have udders.
It's excusable.
You know what the f*** I mean.
It's excusable
you
when...
You meant udders, but you said tits.
Hey, can we let XB talk?
No. We're arguing.
If you're shooting a show with two Sony VHS camcorders, you know, you kind of expect that the output is not going to be the greatest show ever made, but, you know, there's spirit behind it. You know, the campiness works for it. Campiness doesn't work when you're, you know, throwing all kinds of, like, set budget and high-definition recording and fancy special effects. It's just... It's a mismatch.
Then you get Batman and Robin.
Yeah. Yeah, you do.
Although Batman and Robin is kind of fantastic from the other end of the spectrum.
Maybe
when you look back at it now and treat it a certain way, it is kind of
as the joke that it is.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's the same way I look at the original Star Wars trilogy. you know, going back and redoing it with CGI effects and everything takes away from what made it what it was.
Batman and Robin is like an expensive version of the Adam West show.
Yeah. Which, well, yeah, but
Batman and Robin has George Clooney playing Tom Selleck playing Batman.
Man, a Tom...
Because every single screen's like, hey, Freeze, I'm Batman. You can just imagine the mustache there.
A Tom Selleck Batman would have been amazing.
That's exactly what George Clooney did. He did Tom Selleck as Batman.
He kind of did.
So, Ken, I bet you're going to tell us now that you've seen Batman and Robin more recently than Gremlins 2.
Not by choice.
Coincidentally, both movies feature John Glover being f***ing amazing.
Who's John Glover? And,
John Glover is Daniel Clamp in Gremlins 2, and he is also the mad scientist guy that creates Poison Ivy in Batman and Robin.
Oh my God.
And in both movies, he has a magnificent head of hair.
Oh, like Dude in Zero?
Well, no, but John Glover always has magnificent hair. Like even in the f***ing Smallville show, his hair is just outstanding.
We still don't know how we're going to cover Zero, especially since only two episodes have come out so far.
Yeah, best wait on that.
They'll figure it out, or it'll always, lose interest, whichever happens first.
It'll always be there later for when we don't have a power playback for some week. Or something. I don't know. It's not important right now. You know what is important right now? To everyone but me?
Tokeecher?
Yes. Good guess. Go for me! Go! 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 Go!
Well, you kind of tipped it off there.
Well, yes. Ken, you want to do the summary?
Sure, let me just remember which episode that was. 4?
Yeah, because episode after Train Dick.
Ah, yes. That's like our time placement now.
A friend of mine summed this up as a Joe and Sora episode.
That seems accurate. Anyhow, we see an example of the fact that only children can actually see the rainbow line because only they have the kind of imaginations that can actually... Well, what they're saying is that adults don't have imaginations, apparently.
And Wagon is disappointed by this.
Extremely. So apparently they're going to be stopped for a while. So Mio's going to get some exercise while Tokati is... Well, he's embarrassingly... Well, what's the best way to put this?
Ken, did they give you, like, medication before your MRI today?
No. My head's just kind of in 5 different directions, though. That thing is loud. But no, he's deciding to go train his brain by going to the library. Needless to say, he is not somebody who gets laid very often.
Yeah, but if he's 5, that's good.
This is true.
I'm sure all the extra training must help them out.
Yes.
Boo!
But then they
I don't even have to try. The subs are doing the work for me.
F***ing hell. But apparently they find
like
out
like you've been trying it all.
That their passes can be used as credit cards. Which gives all of them an idea.
Candy?
Among other things. Everything.
Porn?
Anything. Oh god, I hope not.
Well, we didn't see all the books Tokati picked up, did we?
Middleman fees?
They don't need middleman fees. They're the ones to get
them.
Yes, they can have their drugs delivered straight to the door.
They can get all of the mail-away arms changes they want.
And apparently Wright has an appetite like a Saiyan.
Yes. So everybody goes out buying everything, especially Tokati.
Who we even everyone except Hikari, actually.
Yeah.
Access to anyone that past thing, and he buys a drink. That's it.
Well, he's also smarter than most of them, as we'll see in a minute.
He must be 6 years old.
Yes. So Tokati comes on board with basically half a department store in his arms, and then Wagon reminds him, "Oh yeah, you have to pay that off later, you know."
That would have been nice to know beforehand.
So it was Ticket that told them that they could use those as credit cards, right?
Actually, it was Kagura.
Huh.
You don't know how she figured it out first.
Probably Ticket.
I imagine Ticket told her, yeah.
That just seems like it has to be, because, you know, total asshole move. You can use these as credit cards and buy whatever you want, and not mention the, you know, paying it later.
Well, although technically he did say credit card, so, you know, if they're smart enough to realize what that meant.
6-year-olds.
Yes!
Yeah, little kids don't have any concept that the money from a credit card has to be paid back.
See, this is the lesson of this episode. Don't steal your parents' credit cards, kids.
Unless you imagine that you have the money to pay that back, then you'll be fine.
The lesson of this episode is crippling debt in adulthood.
Anyway, back at the villain's lair, Schwartz is...
Shorts?
Schwartz. Oh. Schwartz.
I actually like Schwartz better.
Schwartz. Yeah, God. let me think of the fact that they only have one model of a train. That's kind of boring.
But the rest of them look awesome. Except maybe Greta.
Yeah, while Greta overhears this and gets an idea. Meanwhile, back at the Rainbow Line, everybody's coming on board except Tokati, who left his pass somewhere while he was returning stuff. Whoops. And they're like, you know he's okay, right? You can just let him on. And they're like, no.
Ticket is, of course, ready to point out no pass, no boarding.
Because, yeah, they don't have a facial recognition system, so we can't let him on.
That's like the most random shit. It's like, really? This is the reason. Okay. So they have to go by foot. Thus, Mio offers to get a cab for him while the others come in. As a monster is attacking some workers... And the other three arrive and kind of do half the roll call with Mio and Takati arriving later and the monster commenting that they're really kind of slow for an express Sentai.
Which is true. It's very convenient that the cab had that same payment method, too.
Very convenient everything has that same payment method, but...
I think they
admittedly, that technology does exist, but... Yeah. It's still just a bit too convenient.
Is
for
it
them.
the RFID credit card thing?
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's bigger in Japan than it is here.
Everything's probably bigger in Japan.
Except for the men.
Yeah. Or the country itself.
So I like the monster design for this week because it's a very Goanger design with it looking like a giant furnace.
Yeah. So that's also like a very train centric kind of design, actually.
True.
So, the monster, as soon as they're starting to do anything, just takes off and runs. So, the other three hop on the Rainbow Line and take off after him, while Mio and Takati are again stuck hoofing it.
And have to catch the bus.
Yes, because the cab already left. Which I can't really blame him. Suddenly, these guys pop out and turn into superheroes and they're fighting a monster. I wouldn't stick around either.
Maybe Mio's just a lousy tipper.
Maybe. So they are stuck on the bus with an old couple.
Also random.
Just riding through the scenic route. While Schwartz gets a note to, like, hey, if you want to check out the Rainbow Line, come here. Okay. So the monsters ended up on the dam. A dam, any dam.
As they do.
Yeah, the locations are kind of vague in this series.
Yeah, it's the one dam they ever used.
But we have to pretend that they're going
to... I'm
pretty
sure I saw this in Galranger.
Yeah, we have to pretend they're going to multiple different locations, though, even if they keep using the same sets.
I think we saw this in Spider-Man.
Probably. So the bus arrives also, while the other three are busy fighting him. So Mio and Takati end up wandering through the woods, with Takati angsting about being useless. Hikari's smarter than him, right? And Kagura and Mio are better fighters than him, which is actually, that's a long list.
Well, at least he's blue.
We've never had the blue one be the useless one before, have we?
For
Max?
Yeah, I think we have.
Max,
fine. Dan was pretty much the most useless in Zoo Ranger.
That's true. Which is weird because they made him so smart in Power Rangers.
But Mew, for some reason, remembers that he's very reliable, but doesn't quite remember why that is. So that's not a lot of help.
See? Joe.
Meanwhile, Conductor and Ticket are watching the Tokusers get their asses kicked. And, you know, kind of debating amongst themselves, you know, is that the right thing to do? And just kind of leave him hanging around. Like, well, we kind of have to, right?
Then they have epic freak-out shots.
Yes.
At extreme close-up.
But just the scene of Ticket and Conductor by themselves talking to each other is a little bit disturbing.
Possibly, yes.
Nobody else there. Obviously, we know Ticket's really alive by himself. Meanwhile, back on the mountain...
Ticket's in control. Conductor's the puppet.
Hokkaidi can't really keep up and just kind of collapses once they reach the top of the mountain. Because, yeah.
Because Joe. Because
he didn't think he could.
Oh, God, he's blue. just...
Oh, sure, it's funny when someone else does it.
That wasn't a pun.
Okay, so we've broken Ken.
Anyway,
are you sure you didn't have some pills today?
Well, I didn't say that. I said they didn't give them to me at the doctor's office. You must be specific.
Well done.
I've had painkillers for the last week.
It shows.
Apparently. it was either that or me being in agony.
And you came here.
I wouldn't rule that out anyway.
Yes, this is true. Mio laments over the fact that she doesn't have very much imagination, which also does seem to be true, and then promptly falls off a cliff.
That was a quick episode.
Yeah. Kati catches her, and they get a flashback to when they were children of the same thing happening in that tree. So yeah, you catch her, but you don't catch Wright. Good job, man. But there's a little bit of memory, and I guess he gets some confidence back. As Wagon ended up finding his f***ing pass underneath the table from when he fell.
But then how did he return all that stuff if he didn't have his pass then?
Well, he's six. He doesn't understand.
He hit the receipt. The information is on the receipt.
Some places.
They don't need to swipe again.
Some places.
In Japan, it's everywhere.
Probably.
Just take it for granted.
Yes. Okay, sure.
Yeah.
So anyway, they end up arriving to help the others and again get the comment of them being f***ing slow. So they transform, everybody switches, there's a fight, and Kagura's completely useless this time. But that's okay.
It's not her episode.
No. But I do kind of like the concept of when they're doing dual focus episodes to switch their colors during the fight. Which at least gives some kind of excuse to do it, at the very least.
I've always liked dual focus episodes because they don't feel as limited as the storytelling.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's all. It's also good. Well, Kobayashi really seems to like to do that too, because she literally cycled through like almost every combination in Shinkenger she could of all six Rangers to do dual focus episodes.
Because and when you're doing dual focus, that gives you that one thing that lets you do is just have two characters spend the entire episode playing off each other.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it is, and like I said, it's something that Kobayashi is really good at, so I'd expect a lot more of those in this series. But they blow it up with a rubber band, and holy f***, that looks like it hurt. So now we're not into... Now the finisher doesn't really have any logic behind it, but okay.
It's just cruel, for cruelty's sake.
I can also go with that, because nothing is crueler than snapping a rubber band at somebody. Let's be honest. So, Tokuo is formed, and we get fodder giants, because it is a Kobayashi series, and apparently this is what apparently this is what she writes into it. Because it was in Shinkenger, it was in Co-Busters, and now it's here.
Now we also had him in Gokaiger.
Yes, we did. We did. Not as often, but yeah, we did.
And we had him in Kyoruger.
Over there. See, I didn't watch Kyoruger though, so.
So maybe that's just a thing now.
Maybe it is now.
Rather than just a Kobayashi thing.
Perhaps.
Did they have him in Gokaiger?
Yeah, I don't think so.
Did anyone care?
No.
Paladin?
Paladin went away.
Oh.
Are we sure Paladin went away?
He says he went away.
Okay. He said he went away.
He left a message in the window.
That's different. Oh. So anyway, they start getting their asses kicked, and suddenly Ticket pops out of the smokestack in front of one control tank with a train in his mouth, which he takes, and then he disappears, and Wright just sticks his head down the smokestack and like, the f***? Where are you?
Are you down there, conductor? Suddenly their pilot set turns into a Chuck E. Cheese.
That's the best part of the episode.
Yes.
It's like I know that they're getting an upgrade in this episode. Where's it going to come? Oh, hi, Ticket. How are you? And now I understand why his console is designed like it is. I imagine this
it's
is going to happen.
So Ticket can have easy access.
I imagine this is going to happen a lot.
I don't phrase like that. That sounds gross.
Explain Ticket so he doesn't sound gross or disturbing or weird.
There's a difference between gross, disturbing, and weird.
Not on superhero time, there ain't.
So they get the express shield, which promptly smacks him in the face.
That sounds like a bad shield.
Luckily, it does free them, and then they end up attaching it to the left arm. Beat the shit out of the cannon fodder robots.
And like all good shields, it has lights mounted in the center of it to absorb all the dangerous blows.
Yes, of course, those aren't going to explode and shatter or anything all over you.
Well, of course not. It's going to shatter all over the person who attacks you because they're on the side facing it.
But like any good shield, it also shoots lasers. So there's that, too.
Yes.
That's the
rainbow
best shield.
Lasers. So they destroy the monster. But there is one more thing as Schwartz rides by and tosses them a rose.
Tuxedo Schwartz.
Tuxedo shorts. They're formal and easy to wear.
Well, no, his entrances haven't been magnificent, and
that was a pretty magnificent entrance.
Just strange enough to be tuxedo mask caliber. I not once has he appeared just standing in a mass of mannequins.
Well, give him time. The show is young. Anyway, the Tokuchers are stuck cleaning the trains now, which I kind of wonder if that's part of their payment.
That seems to be the implication here, yes.
Yes. And Takati ends up on top of Mio and then gets his face smacked.
That's going to happen a lot, I think.
Maybe.
It means exactly what it sounds like.
Yeah, that's pretty much right. And next episode, they get a car carrier attachment.
Because, sure.
Well, but it's a train.
That makes for an easy go under crossover.
And Car Ranger.
Well, that would make me watch.
I don't know if you put a Car-Gator on the car carrier. Or is that like an Inception type of thing?
Might be incest. So, Gaim?
Usually a good idea.
Mickey?
Which episode?
Shit.
What's the one
21 or 22?
What's the one that came 21. Out yesterday?
22 is this week's.
So we want 21.
Right. We want the one that's not We want the one that's not the one that came out this week.
Okay. Oh, what the hell?
So the less interesting shoes. One by comparison.
Shoes?
I thought I was stepping on a cat. Oh. I thought I was stepping on a cat, but it's just my shoes.
Isn't the cat a lot, like, bigger than your shoes?
Well, yes, but in the dark you can't tell.
Why is it dark?
Because it's underneath the desk.
Why are your shoes under the desk?
Because that's where I took them off. This isn't hard to figure out here. This is not a mystery.
Why would you take your shoes off under the desk?
All right, guy, I'm episode 22 then.
21.
No, I'm doing 22.
What?
Yep, we're skipping 21 and going straight to 22.
Then I better leave.
All right,
that's kind of important. 21 is just a little important.
All right.
That's as important as 22, but yeah.
Every episode's a
little
important.
Okay, 21 then. All right, so we're coming back after the episode where Kaito and Kota both learn from opposite ends of Yggdrasil of what the deal is, of how Earth is f***ed and how Yggdrasil is your only hope. Just in slightly different directions. With Takatora saying, hey, we're going to save it. And Ryoma saying, hey, we're going to let it burn and see what happens. That'll be fun.
Accurate.
I really like Ryoma now.
Especially after this week's, but we'll talk about that next week.
Ryoma's kind of like a drag queen scientist.
Well, I mean, the image that they put up with the subs is enough anyway.
The image that they... slight spoilers, but the image they put up with the subs is in the actual episode.
I kind of assumed?
This, well, some
isn't
people,
it always?
Some people thought it was, you know, one of those joke
subs. Oh.
Because Acer has done that before with other shows. But it's actual dialogue, so.
Which just makes it better.
Yes.
I mean, I assumed that was
and
actual.
Andy's obviously never seen a keyboard before.
Obviously.
Well, that was obvious in 21.
Yes.
No, it just kind of blows my mind that this is the same actor that was so boring in Garo, the one of whatever.
In the.
Yeah.
Garo the and the.
The and the, that's right.
But yeah, clearly it was not the actor's fault.
No, he was just horribly
misused.
His
character was just written flat.
He was horribly misused in that role.
Yeah. Everyone else in the show is used pretty well. Him, not so much.
Yeah.
Let's get someone really charismatic and fun and cast them as a sheet of cardboard. All right, but getting back into 21 here, Kota is helpfully explaining everything to Michi, where Michi stands behind him and tries not to roll his eyes after every sentence.
It's like, Michi, you might want to sit down for this. It's like, okay.
Now, you should also bring up the point where Kota tells Michi that I had a chat with the white armored rider and Michi almost has a f***ing heart attack.
Yeah! Like, oh, did you now? Like, oh, I didn't get his
did
name.
You?
Know you his name?
What did you talk about?
Like, you can almost, like, visualize his ass puckering up. Like, oh, shit. Probably, yeah. He probably wasn't able to take a shit.
Intro quote.
I'll try.
It's like, he just
didn't
almost
tell you his name, did he? That would be bad.
Well, why? No reason. No reason.
Did he mention anything about me?
No.
Did he?
Should he?
Did he tell you that he that you're the one who blew up Utah?
Yeah.
No. Huh? What? Nothing.
No. What were you talking about? Something about the end of the world? Oh, you haven't got to that part yet. Oh, wait. Continue. What were you saying?
Super weapons? I mean. I'll go. I need to go. Bye.
So after Michi is done lying to his best friend, he runs back home to brother and says, "What the? What did you tell him? I need to know how to balance these lies."
Like, couldn't you coordinate this shit?
How much am I supposed to not know? And Takatora's like, chill, dude. I didn't mention the scalar system or Project Arc, in all caps.
Dun, dun, dun.
In the corner, we see Sid raise an eyebrow and go, hmm.
You know, I missed that the first time I watched this, too. Now I'm looking back and it's like, he's like, oh, that's why he did that.
Ammunition. Don't mind if I load my gun with that.
That is what you call Chekhov's gun. Only he fired it really quickly.
Well, some guys have that problem.
Sid just can't help himself.
I like how we're referencing Chekhov in a show about Kamen Rider.
Well, it's a common literary term.
I know, but I thought we're getting all literally up in this bitch.
Well, if any show is going to do that, it'd be this one, I guess.
Meanwhile, back in Helheim, Kaito is moping about off on a fool's errand that Ryoma sent him on. Because Ryoma was just tired of him. Go away.
Ryoma basically gave him a fuzzy photo and said, go find Bigfoot.
Yeah.
And this Kaito almost succeeds at it.
Yes, that's an interesting...
And it looks like a certain Peach Rider. Almost.
I don't know.
Because some of the close-ups on the armor, it looks a lot like Peach Arms.
I don't know. I'm not going to sit here and speculate, because it's Gaim.
Yes.
So, one thing that Sid was talking with Takatora is, so why are you telling Kota all this shit? And Takatora basically says, well, I need to feel good about my moral decisions, so if Kota breaks down, that means I did the right thing. Just like,
well, if he breaks down from this, yeah, there's nothing bad to feel about the, well, he's basically saying that, yeah, if this causes him to break down, yeah, there's, yeah, we're
more in the clear if Captain Happiness agrees with us.
They want to create the Orange Phantom.
Let's not go there.
Which, on one hand, that makes Takatora's character a little more emotionally complex. On the other hand, it kind of makes him a bit of a pussy. Well, if Kota's okay with it, then I'll be okay with it.
Well, I can understand. They're obviously not painting him to be, you know, completely evil. So I can understand him wanting to kind of alleviate, make himself feel better.
I can't decide how this makes me feel about him, if it makes me like him for being a deeper character or dislike him for not being as convinced of his own morals as he claims.
I think he does have more depth to him than we originally expected.
I think he's trying to be amoral about everything that has to be done, but he's not having a very easy time doing that.
Yes. Yeah. Meanwhile, Ryoma has no such qualms.
He's absolutely convinced that typing will destroy the world, and he's going to do as much of it as possible.
And Sid just walks up and asks, can I kill that bastard yet?
Sure.
I love how Ryoma keeps having all these orgasm faces while he types, too. Like, he's so delighted by his fake typing. Oh, my.
In fairness, he has those whenever he does about anything. Right? Coffee.
That's true.
You know, talk about genocide.
Who doesn't make those faces when they're talking about genocide?
Talk about murdering a teenager.
Yeah.
I like how Sid wheels his cart in there just so he can use it as a seat. Like, he doesn't always walk around with it, but he specifically brought it there so he could sit on it.
Well, he wanted an acting prop. I mean, seat. Let's see. Meanwhile, back home, Kota is asking awkward questions to his sister.
Because, hey, the writers remembered she exists again.
Yes. Because
what's her name again?
To bounce something off, and they're tired of talking to Mai.
That's an improvement.
So Kota asks, so if the world was ending tomorrow, like, and I'm not saying it is, but you know, if it was ending tomorrow,
let's say in 10 years from now, the world's going to end.
Like 10 years from 35 seconds from now.
The world will be overrun by man-eating fruit monsters.
I'm not saying it will, but just say that happened.
Hypothetically, if that happened, what would you do?
Like, assuming you haven't been turned into one of those fruit monsters yourself by that point. Not that there are, man-eating fruit monsters out there that you're going to turn into eventually, but if there were.
And at this point, I realized that it's a Kamen Rider trying to avert the zombie apocalypse, basically.
At this point, I don't know if it's the translation, but Kota's sister ceases to make any kind of sense at all. I don't know if it's just bad translation or if she just actually is this dingy that she can't put out a coherent sentence.
Could it be a little of both?
Possibly.
It could be that
she says, it's my life. I want to face my pain and hardship head on, but there'd be nothing I could do. So right to the end, I would be doing things with you.
Well, it's not like Kota's actually giving her much to go off of.
This is true.
If someone was asking me like that, I'd probably be too busy thinking like, what the hell are you talking about to,
what are you smoking?
Yeah.
That's generally how we react when you ask us things.
Yeah, so that is actually.
But Fort Max doesn't really ask us things, he just says things. He's usually telling us things.
And then we respond with questions.
So it's really kind of backwards from your example. Maybe we should bring Fort Max on RFC this week.
That's a good idea.
We won't even tell Kilby, we'll just wait for him to start the call and then we'll add Fort Max.
That is the best idea, in fact.
Yes.
Doing anything on Wednesday, Fort Max?
Nope.
You are now.
Seriously,
I'll
listen
to this once it goes up.
Yeah, seriously, let's do this.
Yeah, what time should I,
party crash?
What?
I guess close to 7:30.
Okay.
Same bat time.
Meanwhile, is Minato coming on to Kaito or is it just me?
Absolutely.
Yeah, she street walks up to him. And they exchange a lot of milky glances.
Yeah.
No. You're not strength. Not interested.
Considering she could kick his ass and has.
No. She's power, not strength.
And
she's learned Bravo's technique of healing the.
Now she might even have strength, but she herself isn't strength. The only one for Kaito is a personification of strength.
In hell.
Armstrong from Full Metal?
I can't argue with how much sense that makes.
That makes perfect sense.
It does.
Or possibly she's just learned Bravo's technique of peeling the banana.
Also possible.
I thought Bravo's technique was, fondling the melon.
Whatever you can get.
Isn't that what Durian wants to do?
Or stepping on the nut.
Well, in any way, Kaito doesn't seem any eager to learn the new form, slurping the peach.
Wow.
Can we edit that out? That's just too gross.
Moving along.
I'll replace that with or something.
Okay.
That's less offensive.
Ernie's juice bar. Kota's blathering on about something, and
the same thing he's been blathering on about all episode.
Yeah.
Trying to tune him out,
honestly. And then Ernie says, maybe there's someone you shouldn't be trusting right now. And then he just sort of walks away from that.
Maybe he's the final villain of the series.
Like, he keeps getting more screen time lately, and I keep kind of starting to think, like, are they going to, like, do something with him?
He'll end up getting either the B's actor or signing a contract with a giant gun bowl.
Meanwhile, in another episode, Infests are attacking and stealing bank money.
Only this time it's not a bunch of... Go on.
Good. No, you go.
Only this time it's not a bunch of teenagers.
With attitude.
This time it is hardened criminals.
Yeah.
I wonder where they got those modified lock seeds from.
This is kind of nice to see, though, actually. Because it's another thing that, this makes sense. This is something that would probably happen.
Although I like that these real criminals actually still dressed like beat writers with like a uniform. They're very stylish.
Very classy.
Yakuza yeah, dress code, you know.
Yeah.
They gotta wear their colors, man.
As they're about to leave the warehouse with their money, they're confronted by Kota, Zach, and Michi. And of the three of them, only Zach looks even remotely threatening.
I'll give Zach's actor some credit. Like, he hasn't done much at the moment, but he kind of does have some presence to him.
Yeah.
Michi, meanwhile, looks like he's about to cry.
Well,
Kota kind of looks hilarious.
Thing me, he looks like Michi.
Yes, basically.
He still hasn't quite recovered from the heart attack he had earlier.
You know who Michi really is? He's IDW Brainstorm. He's too smart to stand there and die.
It's like, you want me to fight criminals? Really? Okay.
So Michi starts carrying a briefcase.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
get worried.
Yes. The briefcase is applied.
We get the beginnings of a really fun fight scene, untransformed to an everyone, till the bad guys realize, you know what? We got monsters. Screw this noise.
Oh, we're out.
Well, I mean, that was kind of because Kota was actually literally kicking their asses.
Yeah.
Well, it's not hard to do when all they have are sunflowers.
So, Kota chases after them, leaving Michi and Zach behind to become Team Grape Nuts.
I never liked Grape Nuts.
But Grape Nuts is hard and tough to beat.
Yeah. That was kind of my problem with it.
Yeah.
Tasted weird, too.
So, as Kota chases after the crooks, they vanish to be replaced in a dark alleyway by Sid. And Sid's there to drop some knowledge bombs on Kota's little noggin of talking about the scalar system.
Man, Sid's actor is obviously enjoying this scene way too f***ing much.
Well, so are we.
Yeah. It's great.
And so Sid is basically... I don't know what the f*** he's trying to do with Kota exactly, but...
He's trying to sabotage Takatora, and the best way to do that is to ruin Kota's day.
And by doing that, it also gives Kota an initiative to hate Yggdrasil. When he was just starting to think they might...
And specifically, hate Takatora.
Yes. Again, trying to sabotage Takatora's plan by giving Kota a bad day.
Yeah, and by giving Kota he gives Kota motivation,
yeah.
Which is what Takatora was trying to steal away, and what he told Sid he was trying to steal away.
Uh-huh.
Whoops.
Yes.
The question I'm wondering is why?
Because he's in with Ryoma's plan.
Yeah, I know. I'm just wondering how this fits in together with Ryoma's plan, though. I don't see how these pieces fit yet.
Well, the thing is, Takatora's
plan
is...
You have two outcomes, both of which are favorable to Sid. Either you get rid of Takatora, or you get rid of the unknown factor.
Kota!
Okay, well, here's what I'm saying, though, is right now Takatora's... goals are in line with Ryoma's goals of killing... Well, we're not going to go that year.
Well, no. At the moment, it looks like Takatora's goal is to find a way to stop this from happening, and Ryoma's goal is like, I'll let it happen. We'll just watch and laugh.
And then rule over what's left.
You know, those two goals are kind of at odds with each other.
Takatora does not realize this.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes. So the scalar system is...
Sid and Ryoma basically see that Takatora wants out of this plan as desperately as he can, but he's still going along with it because he thinks it's the only option.
Well, it's there pretty much... That plan is there as last resort.
Yeah.
And so their goal
Take
is
off
to...
Take off and nuke the site from orbit.
Convince Takatora to stop looking for an out. Okay.
Yes. Yeah.
I'm following that logic better now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And the thing is, for all his discussion here, Sid's not exactly wrong when he talks to Kota either. He says, yes, we are trying to protect mankind, and that's more important than just this one little city.
Even if that's not his actual intent.
Which something I'm really loving about Gaim is everything the villains have said, or Yggdrasil, not necessarily the villains, have said for the past several episodes, all of it has been correct. There's been no lies.
It's just where does your moral, where does your morality lie is the question.
Right. Everything they're doing is correct from a certain point of view.
Mm-hmm.
Which is really nice to have a villain force that's not really evil completely.
They're evil depending on your point of observation.
Right. It's a lot more gray than we ever get in Toku. Generally, villains are evil to the core because they're evil.
Mm-hmm. But there is, like, you know, this line of extremes from Kota to Cid.
Yeah. There's a lot of textures in this show that we don't get in Toku.
And even though Kota is, you know, you guys are full of shit, you shouldn't be doing this, he still does sit there and question it.
Yeah.
Especially once Cid reveals that the Yggdrasil Tower is the housing for a giant weapon to wipe out the city.
Yes! There's your motivation, Kota.
Yeah, the giant tree building is surrounded by ominous death lasers.
Mm-hmm. Who do you guess?
Yep. So upon this revelation, there's nothing left to do but have a gun battle in an alleyway. In which you learn that they're both really terrible shots at point-blank range.
Yeah, how do you have a gunfight 5 feet apart and miss every shot?
And don't they have homing shots in those fires?
You'd think so, wouldn't
well,
you?
Yeah, well...
Maybe they need a certain range before they start homing.
And a certain charge to it. But Kota does get his ass kicked at first.
Duh.
Well, it's not like he's Kaito, come on.
Yeah, but he's still fighting...
Because he wins this in the end.
Yeah, he's still fighting...
Energy Rider, and he didn't even go straight to his power-up.
Yeah.
So where was that lesson from last episode?
Yeah. But... Yeah, he really...
All of Kota's other lock seats feel very lonely. Strawberry's going, hey, remember me?
Points to Cid, though, for just, like, knocking the guy down, he's untransformed. I'm just gonna shoot you with the f***ing arrow now.
Well, Cid's only goal at this point is to just kill Kota to eliminate him as a variable.
Yeah, but that's... You don't usually see them just, like, going straight for the throat like that, even.
Well, it's Cid.
Yeah.
So, Cid gets taken out, and Kota grabs his lock seed. And but before Kota can deliver the killing blow, Michi summoned the Infest. No, he wouldn't have, of course. But
he would have started to and then hesitated.
Yeah,
more than likely he probably would have tried to deliver the killing blow to the driver.
Yeah.
Does Michi think he would have delivered the killing blow though?
I don't.
Because remember,
so.
Michi knows he kills you. He killed Yuya.
But he also knows that Kota doesn't know he killed Yuya. Jeez.
So yeah, he knows he doesn't know that he knows that he killed him.
Should never have pursued this train of thought.
No, you should not.
No!
It's not Tokuter, it doesn't count.
Besides, so, that one was kind of intentional for retribution anyway.
Michi distracts Kota by summoning an invest and then taking it out for him. How helpful.
What a little shithead! I love it so much, but he's such a little f***ing shit.
Yeah.
In the best possible way.
It's like, Michi's like the worst writer, but like one of the most interesting characters to watch because...
Yeah.
Eventually, all this is going to come back to him in a big way.
Yeah, oh, Michi is no Xanatos.
No, but it's still fun
he
to
thinks
watch.
He is. And that's going to bite him in the ass.
Right.
All that Mitchie started out the show as a hero, and he's quickly sliding into the sleazy villain role.
But it seems like a natural progression, too, is the bad thing.
Yeah.
It's because he's so smart.
Smart people are evil.
Yeah, that's the real reason that, you know, British people are cast as villains in movies, because they sound so much smarter, so obviously you can't trust them.
I thought it was because Malcolm McDowell actually was evil.
So
I'm talking about in general.
That's why the only really heroic writers in the show right now are Kota and Zack. Everybody else is smarter than them.
Yes.
That makes a lot of sense.
It kind of does.
Well, except the nut.
No, he's smarter than them too. I'm pretty sure.
Oh yeah, he's fairly smart.
He knew how to save his own ass. That was good enough.
Yeah. He's smart enough to be biding his time.
But not smart enough to come out on top.
Not yet. That's the biding his time part.
No, that's Yoko's goal.
No, that's Bravo's goal in that case.
Let's just say it's a mutual goal of many.
Besides, Bravo... Bravo wouldn't want to come out on top over, you know, Nut, because he's more interested in Melon.
No, he wants Melon to come out on top, but over Nut, he would be on top.
What I'm saying, though, is that he doesn't care enough about Nut to actually want to come out on top over him.
Unless there's Nuts coming out on the Melon.
Yeah, but then I think that would just be, you know, like Nutcracker time.
The power chamber is in the basement.
But where are the Nuts?
I'm just making a bunch of semen jokes, really.
But where are the Nuts, Ken?
In the driver.
And that was Gundam episode 21.
Yes, it was.
Still f***ing awesome.
Yep.
And how does it get even more awesome next week? It shouldn't be possible, but it does.
Well, he gets a different colored juice box.
Can you really tell, though? It's not like there's a lot of color visible on that thing.
A little bit.
You'd really think, though, if they're designing something like that, they would make it so that the color on the chest would be very prominent.
It's not a very good suit.
Considering we're calling it juice box arms, I think that goes without saying.
And against all odds, Hobby Link Japan actually filled my pre-order for it, which I completely f***ing forgot I placed.
Why did you try for HLJ?
Why shouldn't you forget you placed it? Because why would they? They wouldn't fill it. You know. So did you forget you had that and you put a pre-order in for it somewhere else, and now you're getting two of them?
No, I'm only getting one.
So
I wasn't even sure I wanted the one.
Ah. Maybe that's why you
did it anyway.
Maybe that's why you did it through HLJ. You just assumed that it probably wouldn't get filled, so you wouldn't have to worry about it.
That did cross my mind.
Remember when HLJ was actually decent to order from?
I'm not that old.
Oh, it's only about 10 years ago. Importing toys from Japan used to be a lot better than it is now.
Back when the dollar was stronger?
Well, that and before so many people were getting in on it and kind of ruining it for everybody else.
Like, there was competition?
Not even the competition thing. Like, take AmiAmi, for example. They used to have really great customer service. You know, very accommodating and everything. And now, you know, basically, if you even, like, ask if you can maybe cancel one pre-order, you're probably going to get blacklisted forever.
Yeah.
You know, I... Like, from what I see Gabla is saying, Hobby Search seems like the only one that's at all decent anymore, and that probably won't last either.
No, and they're kind of a pain in the ass to use.
Yeah, I don't know. I've never used Hobby Search myself.
Yeah.
I can't remember if I have or not.
You know, there's not really very good direct from Japan toy buying options anymore. And the dollar,
well, there's
the
always
dollar,
Mandarake.
The dollar is strong enough. It's stayed pretty much equal with the yen for several months now. You know, that's a lot better than last year at this time when it was like, what was it?
84, was it?
Yeah, at some point it was down to 70s.
Ugh.
Yeah. Yeah, you wouldn't have been getting no AC Bravo at that point.
Yeah,
exchange rate-wise, it's not so bad. It's just finding someplace to buy from. Yeah, Mandarake is good if you can actually get the stuff you want to order. You know, somebody...
Amazon's really not that bad. I mean, you pay a little bit more, but it's just so much easier to use. It's kind of worth it a lot of times.
I can see that as an advantage for a lot of people.
Yeah.
For Amazon?
Yeah.
Well, you can't get toys from Japan, can you? With Amazon?
Yeah.
Because, you know, Amazon has third-party sellers.
Yeah.
That's so, you know, people in Japan will sell on American Amazon, and, you know, there's importers that do it, too.
Like my Ornek and Dandelioner I got, I paid, like, $55 for it. So.
Have you gotten that in yet?
Yeah. Yeah.
I can't remember what you get or not. You've been buying so much stuff lately.
Well, yes, I suppose I have. That's probably why I don't have a lot of money left.
You didn't have a lot of money to start with.
I'm not good with money.
Me either.
I'm good with stuff, though.
Stuff.
You know, stuff that I can't use to do house repairs or go to the dentist with.
Yeah. Oh, well. Break time.
Metal, ready?
You're listening to Superhero Time.
Mr. Bucket!
That's right, I'm Mr. Bucket. I'm Mr. Bucket. Toss your balls in my top, I'm Mr. Bucket. Out of my mouth, I will pop, I'm Mr. Bucket. Walk and run, I'm Mr. Bucket.
The game's Mr. Bucket. The first to get their balls into Mr. Bucket wins, but look out, because the balls will pop out of his mouth.
I'm Mr. Bucket. The balls pop out of my mouth. I'm Mr. Bucket. A ball is what I'm about. I'm Mr. Bucket. Whee! We're all going to run. I'm Mr. Bucket. Bucket's a friend.
It's time now for another Dynaman moment.
Oh, hello, Uncle Wiggily.
Hello, Uncle Wiggily.
Hello, kids. You know, working with intelligent dolphins can be so rewarding. You see that slinky one over there?
Oh, yes, she's beautiful.
Her name is Karen. Tonight, we are going to perform an experiment upon her and cook her and eat her with butter.
What a scientist!
You're listening to Power Playback on Superhero Time. Look for Power Playback every Friday on Twitter at Superhero_Time.
Wrong.
Yes, usually. So Power Playback
consistently.
Yeah. So Power Playback this week is the Car Ranger episode we skipped for, like, what, 2 weeks now? I think? Something like that. We skipped the Car Ranger episode several times, and now we're finally going to watch it, and Paladin's going to do the summary.
How did I know this was coming?
Probably because I had Ken do trains and Mickey do fruit.
And I was all prepared to do it.
Yes, okay. Exactly.
Which is also why I'm doing it.
All right, go for it, Fort Max. Let's do something different.
I forgot everything that was about this episode, so y'all go ahead.
Let's do something entertaining. Fort Max, you cover it.
Yeah.
That's entertaining?
He volunteered.
Yeah. Okay, that's a good point.
That's kind of the point here.
So, over at the bar... I'm surprised you're actually having me do it now.
It's too late. You're not getting out of it this time.
That pause is the best thing.
But yes, over at the bar, Sonet's busy getting drunk. And sees a shooting star or maybe just got dizzy. And starts wondering about its odd feeling that's inside.
Which... That's because she's had too much to drink.
Yeah.
It means you're about to throw up.
Yeah, some kind of... Yeah.
She's an alien. Do they do that?
Why not?
If she can drink, she can throw up.
Yes. What is this mysterious power that is making this... That is making this gem that is glowing while there's an extreme close-up? So... back on Earth, the Car Rangers are busy watching fireworks because, well, it's summer, apparently.
It's the middle of the series, so that seems about right.
Yeah. And then, that same shooting star. And it's...
Oh, no, they're both right.
But it's a...
Yeah.
It's a cat. Oh. It is Nekomaru's younger sister or something.
Younger, hotter sister.
Yes.
It's Nekomaru's sports car cousin.
This is actually a regular car model in Japan. You know, there's nothing unusual.
And, hey, there's a magical girl riding inside.
It's the cat
also
bug.
Also not unusual in Japan.
It's the cat bug.
Yes, magical girl who's amazed that Japan Pan is as beautiful as she's heard. Good. So, and of course, yeah, because this is Car Ranger, of course she's here to meet Car Ranger.
You okay over there, Paladin?
Yeah, sorry. Go ahead.
So, back at the bar, General Hitchhiker is going over his new plan.
I don't think that was quite high enough.
Number one hero research.
I don't think that was quite high enough.
Hitchhiker. his new plan is to use Biker Gang's number one hero researcher, Sue Superman. Which, and of course, yes, he has the mandatory scarf. But yeah, of course, the others. Who else is going to dress like they're a hero? Of course. So we have this all planned out. So back at the beach.
Because of course it's a beach episode.
Yeah, let's see. The girls are over in bikinis under the umbrellas. The boys are busy throwing balls all over the place. And as always, Ichiro is hanging out with Signal Man, standing over at the Koban base, noticing that no one's there.
And Signal Man has his own pair of shorts.
Yeah, one thing I like about 90 Sentai is you got a lot more flesh in it.
Not as much as 70s Rider, though.
True. Well, I mean, that's probably a good thing, actually.
Yeah, if this was 70s Rider, Ichiro would be in the thong.
But chicks in bikinis and shirtless Red Racer, yeah, I can handle this.
And then Sailor Moon ripoff.
So yeah, she transforms into a swimsuit as well, and of course wants to know if anyone knows where Car Ranger is. And of course, it's Car Ranger's there. One of them, of course, is so helpful to point out that, yeah, we know everything about him. And after being shut up by the others, helpfully just pointed, oh, Car Ranger's over that way.
Once again, the secret ancient orc technique.
No, not quite.
The worst thing is, though, she looks like she's about 12, and that one Car Ranger's totally trying to come onto her.
In every way, right?
Yes, well, there is only one way that statement can be meant.
It's almost Dawn-esque there. And then right on cue, there's a flyer that's all about the new Sentai team that for the season.
Now, I like that the flyer is actually a flyer.
Yes.
And that it's a paper airplane made of a flyer, so... I don't know, that just amuses me for some reason.
But yeah, of course, because Car Rangers so last season, now it's time for the new heroes.
This is great.
And suddenly it turns into Mad Max.
Well, yeah, of course, it's reusing the mecha footage from the earlier episodes. So, Biker Gang heads out to do such evil things as shooting flowers, taking ice cream from kids, breaking through cafe windows, and throwing mud on clean laundry being hung up to dry.
And you forgot stepping on a kid's sandcastle.
Yes.
Because, of course, they have to.
But, yes. So, of course, Car Ranger shows up. And right after they come on the scene, in comes Biker Squad Gang Ranger.
With their own theme song.
Yes, their own wonderful theme song.
Okay, Gotta stop you here for a minute, Fort Max. Does that song exist on, like, a CD or something?
Yes.
Do you have it?
Can you sing it for us?
I do have it.
Okay, you need to pass that out after the show. I hope you brought enough for everybody.
So what I like about this is it took me like four or five lines.
Skill attachments, yes, there is enough for everyone.
It took me about four or five lines to realize I wasn't hearing the actual theme song. So I just started tuning it out.
It took me until I started actually reading the subtitles for it. Because I wasn't sure exactly why they were bothering to subtitle the theme song in the middle of a fight. I know some subgroups will do that, but I didn't think that was a thing here. But then it's like, oh, hey, this is kind of cool.
It usually is if it's something showing up, especially during a scene, especially if there's not a lot of talking during it.
Yeah.
Because it's usually during action scenes, and you don't want to have to be reading two different sets of lines. Unless it's a song that is that only shows up once or is particularly related to the episode itself, which this one sure is.
Yes, it is.
So, of course, we get fight scene, that it's time to break out to do what his research tells him, that all Sentai teams have an attack like this. So, they break out the Go Ranger Ball. And yeah, it only difference here is the ball they use. It is, really, the Go Ranger Ball, Sun Vulcan Ball,
the Kaku Ranger Ball,
yeah. So, cut back to the beach, and, hey, Sailor Moon knows something's up. And suddenly, business card sent flying.
Because, yeah, that works.
Well, how else are you going to introduce yourself? This is Japan Pan, after all. She knows what's up. Everyone has business cards.
And look at that tasteful font. What color is this? Bone?
And suddenly, Magical Girl sparkles all over the place.
I like her transformation phrase, too. It's like and tiramisu, course, cognac, something or other.
Yeah.
So is there a point to what she's saying that we're not getting in the translation?
She's the Car Ranger 6 Ranger. Because, of course, they always show... 6 Ranger always show up at the last minute. But yes, Radiator Fanbelt. White Racer.
Her name is Radiator Fanbelt.
Yes.
Yeah, weren't you paying attention?
I know, I just felt like
traffic safety. Racing Girl, White Racer.
That sounds racist somehow.
A little bit.
So, of course, she
with a very Scum-esque wardrobe.
So, yes, sends out a riddle bomb, which is another Go Ranger attack.
That I do not know.
Yeah, pretty much every episode in Go Ranger, Green Racer would throw a bomb that would explode when the Monster of the Week got his riddle wrong. And of course, gets the riddle. Of course, the monster does not. Now, Superman, while the number one hero researcher is not. Is not Biker Gang's number one punter. So he does not know what a Mamiya's favorite fruit is.
It's too bad Paladin wasn't there instead that day.
It probably would have blown up still.
Fort Max would have known.
Like I said, too bad Paladin wasn't there that day.
And of course, after it blows up, Rangers take the advantage to use the auto blasters, so Gang Ranger just runs off.
Good job. Shoot them while they're down.
So, get some introductions in the way. Radiator Fanbelt is mostly their big fan of theirs. Mostly came to get their autograph. As for how she knows about them, well, she gets Telebeak. Well, apparently she has a subscription to Space Telebeak-kun. Which which fine gags that which this is pretty much which well heck, this is pretty much the same gag that you would normally expect in a hyper battle video or super video.
Yeah, it's also kind of a Akiba Ranger-y.
Yeah.
But I do like how...
She loves how silly and irresponsible Car Ranger is. So she
That's
wants,
like the best part in here.
Yeah. So she's also silly and irresponsible. She'd make a great Six Ranger. Of course, they turn her down because fighting's dangerous. They don't want her hurt.
And she's all disappointed that Red Racer would say something so responsible to her.
Yeah. Which...
What are they actually saying about them in those magazines?
The truth?
Okay, can't deny that.
What they're saying in there, buy our stuff. Watch the show. Buy the toys.
Yeah.
Spend our money. Spend your money on our stuff.
Spend our money.
Because, yeah, pretty much all Telebikun is ads for stuff that the people making the shows want you to buy. It's like the Lego Club magazine. Or Nintendo Power.
It's not important, Fort Max.
Yeah.
But Nintendo Power had Howard and Nestor in it.
But of course, sat in by Car Ranger's by Car Ranger being actual responsible people somewhat, she runs off crying.
Responsible people.
Somewhat.
And of course, Red Racer has no idea what he did to make her cry. Meanwhile, back at the bar, so Superman's getting the riot act right at him. So, of course, Porno comes up with the new
thing. Did you say Porno comes up?
Well, I can't remember what his name, what his Car Ranger name is, so Porno. But they need a fan cell diamond to power it, but... Hey, fortunately, Zonette has one. So they don't have to go all the way to that backwater Fanbelt planet to get it.
Now, are names like Fanbelt Planet common in Car Ranger, or is this a one-episode thing?
Well, let's see. Signal Man is from Police Planet.
So it's also their gimmick, along with, you know,
is from Planet Hazard.
Is that where the Dukes are from?
They're the rulers of Hazard.
So, of course, take Zonette's diamond. They put it in the new Teen Cannon, which actually the same very same prop is used in the next episode as a completely different weapon.
Well, you gotta save money where you can.
Yeah.
Did they at least repaint it?
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's not so bad.
So... back on Earth, time for White Racer to get kidnapped.
Because of course she must in that outfit.
So she's wondering why her eyes are watering so much as she's pouring eye drops into them.
Right after she was ran off crying.
You also, see any tears? Why, yes we do.
But, like, how are eye drops supposed to help your eyes from watering?
Also, her eye drops appear to be pink, so I think she's just pouring Kool-Aid into her eyes, which I don't see how that's going to help.
The sugar in the Kool-Aid will absorb the water, and...
Well, you know, maybe it's crystal light. It was the 90s.
Could be crystal meth. Maybe she's ahead of her time.
But,
yeah, they're aliens, right? I imagine they got the good shit.
And back at the Car Rangers, back at the secret
That's
base
what
in
Paladin
garage,
does for a living. He makes crystal meth.
Yeah. And of course...
I am not the guy from Breaking Bad.
You wish.
And of course, because biker gang's dapping here, Rangers go off, go back to the beach, and, of course, Gang Rangers there... With the radiative fan belt tied up on the on their convenient pole with chains.
Well, nobody likes a loose fan belt.
Ugh.
And of course, because...
aren't you glad I didn't have Paladin do this after all?
According to his research, the heroes cannot fight when the bad guys have a hostage.
But Car Ranger is irresponsible.
But they are very irresponsible.
Remember, they wouldn't let her fight.
And of course, that... And Gorsay, how's that not fair? Of course, Car Ranger... Of course, the heroes regularly gang up on the monsters 5-1.
That sounds very fair.
Which is
kind
of a good point.
Yeah.
Well, that sounds very fair.
So, of course, they go and attack anyway.
It's always fair when you're the one who has the advantage.
Yeah. Of course, they attack anyway. Get blasted. So, Radio tries to come up with a way to save them. So, using her Sailor Moon car magic powers, transforms into Biker Gang's president.
Whatever Rygog's name was in Power Ranger.
And immediately yells for Superman to untie him. Because that pesky white racer got loose and trapped him there.
Oh, that makes perfect sense.
Oh, yeah.
Now, after taking the chains off, of course...
Fooled you.
She transforms back. Gotcha. So, Car Ranger breaks out their cannon, but
their ugly ass cannon.
And Gang Ranger picks up theirs and gets overpowered. Their cannon blows up. The crystal goes flying into right by the water. So. Time to break out the Emotron, whatever.
The stick of butter.
Yeah, whatever it is. Of course, while Radiata goes and picks up the crystal, which is amazingly identical to hers in all but color. So Arby...
Maybe she had a twin sister that was lost at birth, too.
Yep. So, RV Robo. And Superman starts preparing for his final attack that he's learned from his long research of robot battling. Which, yeah, is pretty much a bunch of giant robot, Sentai robot finishers just all jammed together. Busy yelling out the attack name when he gets cut by the racing slash and pulls up.
You know, for any other Sentai, he probably would have had time to finish
that. Your move name is way too long.
And any other Sentai, he would have had time to finish, too. He just happened to go up against the race car Megazord and didn't have any time.
Yes. Of course, Radiata decides to go back home and study, so later she can become the actual Sixth Ranger. And, of course, Green wants... her to bring a bunch of girls with her when she comes next time.
Because of course he would.
Because, yeah, Green's the...
Green
is the Urataros.
He wants some space jail bait.
So, yes, that is Car Ranger 25.
It's the best episode of Car Ranger I've ever seen.
And barely any of its footage got used in Turbo.
I wonder why. Now, White Racer comes back a couple times, doesn't she?
Yes.
Have those been subbed yet?
Not yet. The latest episode subbed is the pizza episode.
It's that episode.
Yes.
That one episode of Car Ranger.
Are there salads being tossed in Japan?
No. However, there is a imagined gang of traffic law-breaking pizzas.
An imagined gang of traffic law-breaking pizzas.
Yes.
That sounds pretty amazing, actually.
Well, pretty much every episode of Car Ranger is amazing.
Except for that last one y'all forced us to watch, which was not amazing at all.
Which one was that?
The first appearance of Richtenheimer, dude.
Richtenheimer? Fort Max, what's his name?
What?
What's his name, Fort Max?
The Reach Hiker?
Yeah, him.
How the hell did you get a Richtenheimer?
I couldn't remember what it was.
I
started with an R and it sounded German.
That's pretty close, though.
But yeah, and there's, let's see, the episode where Green has to go off go up to the country because he mistakenly shipped their new cannon to a customer instead of a crib.
How do you even...
This is Car Ranger we're talking about.
Yeah.
Still.
You?
What? What?
I don't know. That I was asking about, like, what was that for?
What?
It still seems extra bizarre even by Car Ranger standards.
Did anyone else hear bizarre? Or is that just me? I guess it was just me. Bizarre sounds like either like a weird bra or like a big open air market where you buy lots of bras.
Yes, highlights of the episode of the episode where with the new cannon being mailed off is well, of course, Signalman tagging along because
bored.
Reed Racer was speeding, and stand up comedic stylings of Signalman trying to get the baby to. Go away to get off of the cannon so that it doesn't actually press the firing button.
These are the highlights?
Well, hey. It was...
Car Ranger.
It was a crib being sent, so, hey, this must be one of those newfangled high-tech cribs.
So it's not just the Car Rangers. Everyone in this Japan is an idiot.
Yes.
So dare I ask, what do we do next week? Oh, no, not next
memorial.
That's right. I forgot that is next week.
Are we actually up to 200, or have we skipped enough episodes we got to push it back again?
No, next week will actually be our 200th episode, which we are dedicating to the memory of J.D. Church.
So are we not covering any shows next week?
Either
that's right.
Shortly.
We're going to have Brian come on for the recording next week, and we're just going to sit around and talk about all the stuff we remember about J.D., with clips.
Will we get to hear the clips, or will we just SOL on that front?
Basically, yeah.
It's going to be hard to talk about the clips.
Well, we're not going to necessarily talk about the clips themselves, but, you know, we're going to talk about JD and interspersed through that will be, you know, highlights of his time on Superhero Time. And that one episode of RFC we did. Where Ben wasn't wearing
RFC we ruined.
Where Ben wasn't wearing any pants.
Right.
What was the thing?
We won't need power playback after that if we're taking a week off of the regular shows. Because we'll just play catch up again.
That's true.
And I think the next power playback would be a Garo movie anyway.
Maybe? I don't know.
I can already tell you I'm not going to watch that until I've watched the rest of Garo.
So there you go.
Yeah, y'all can feel free to cover it.
Well, we got some time. We can figure something out. But yeah, we're still doing the Give Forward campaign for JD for his wife's expenses incurred from his funeral and hospitalization. That's at tfradio.net/JD. You know, it is proceeding along. We're still getting plenty of donations, and, you know, we're on our way to our goal. It's going to run well into May, so... Anything you can give will be appreciated. And as our cold start in this episode proved, you know, JD's memory is alive and well in all of us.
In our butts, where we poop.
I'd be lying...
And in our hearts, also where we poop.
And, you know, I can scarcely crack open a container of sour cream without, you know, thinking of JD. Of course, I never wanted JD's sour cream.
I wish I still had that image. I've lost it, though.
What image?
Of where I photoshopped together JD's sour cream.
I don't remember that, but maybe that's for the best.
It was completely safe for work, I assure you.
I believe you completely.
Well, it was no afterbirth, I believe.
You mean birth first appearance?
Yes.
You know... JD had the sour cream thing, but he was really more about the mayonnaise. Because he would make his own mayonnaise. He never bought any. He would just, you know, throw stuff in the food processor.
That just sounds so dangerous to me. Like, I don't trust store-bought mayonnaise, let alone stuff that's been prepared by hand.
Well, if you prepare it yourself, you know what's happened to it.
Yeah, I could see it going bad right in front of my eyes.
I guess that's a possible risk you would take, but probably not any more than with other egg products.
And the thing with sour cream is that why use sour cream when there's perfectly good salad dressings already available?
Well, I think the sour cream thing started with nachos. Do you?
Right.
You put salad dressing on your nachos?
Yeah, usually like, Thousand Island.
Oddly, that's what I was going to ask you if you put on there.
Or a nice red wine vinaigrette.
You know, with the right kind of nachos, that might actually be good. Like, you know, some chicken nachos, maybe?
This sounds like a cutthroat kitchen type of screw-over.
Replace sour cream with red wine vinaigrette.
And then Alderman come up behind you and say, I don't know what you're doing, but if I was doing it, I wouldn't be doing that.
You know, somewhere in here there's probably a Gigabeetle challenge, but we should probably not distract him from the grits.
Right. Unless he wants to add red wine vinaigrette to the grits just for shits and giggles.
Well, how many packages did you send him?
12.
He can probably afford to do that with one of them.
Assuming they get there.
Oh, he got them. He's confirmed arrival.
He just hasn't confirmed consumption, I guess.
The South has penetrated Sweden.
Ew. From which direction?
The South. We crossed its border.
Did it rise again?
Well, not
again
for...
and again.
It had like 20 minutes downtime, though, in between.
It was a refractory period in between risings.
Need a little time to recover before the next round. Get its momentum going again. Had to, like, rally the troops back up.
The swelling had to go down.
I don't understand.
Of the penis.
I'm
recover
sorry.
From the burning from last time.
I'm sorry, I don't follow.
Well played. See, I was running out of double entendres and just went straight to the single, but you came back with a solid one.
Did he now?
What happened to Ken?
Ken?
I'm here.
Okay.
My head's just kind of in pieces at the moment.
Well, you're welcome.
You're high as balls, aren't you?
No, it's more like having a drum beat a bit against my head for half an hour is not a good thing.
What? Oh, the MRI.
Your head's all full of magnets, huh?
MRI is very loud.
Yeah, I know.
Ah.
Very loud, and it erases videotapes.
And disorients you like
I've never been inside one, but I can imagine.
Oh, there's like a mile high clip.
I didn't think it would be that bad.
So, is MRI to figure out why you like Digimon and Pretty Cure?
No.
Because we need scientific evidence to find out why and how we can prevent that from happening in future generations.
I mean, it's too late for Paladin already, but, you know.
We got to think of the children.
I don't think that's going to be a problem for Paladin.
Ew.
I meant he wouldn't ever have any.
Oh, okay. You're going a completely different direction with that, then.
Yes,
what
I was.
What direction were you going?
I was going on a Headmaster Dawn.
Dawn. Then, yeah, I could get that. But Paladin?
I think Paladin's just aroused by staring at the wall and hating.
Maybe not hating, but, you know, being angry.
Well, there also has to be complete silence, too.
But, you know, you'd be angry at everything, too, if you lived in Canada's colon.
Well, it is the right shape to get into it.
Okay, so Memorial episode next week, no power playback, and then catch up the week after that, so no power playback. So we're good into, like, the second week of April.
Hooray!
After that, we'll play it by ear.
Works for me!
So next week is either going to be a lot of fun or horribly depressing.
Maybe a little of both.
I'm guessing short show next week.
Well, probably short recording. You know,
we'll pad it out with filler.
Yeah, the actual show length will probably not be too different from... It at least won't be different from, like, a normal clip show, which usually ran about an hour. One reason I kind of wanted to still do this was because around the beginning of the year, I'd had the idea that over this year to collect specifically JD clips and do two clip shows at the end of 2014. One would be our completely off-subject, and the other would be the best of JD Church. So, while obviously that can't happen the way I envisioned it to start with, we can kind of do that same thing for his entire time with us and, you know, use that to memorialize him. And, you know, talk a little bit about our fond memories of him at the same time. So,
someone should write a naughty limerick.
Okay, Fortmax, get on that.
Good job. it's settled. He's doing it. Okay.
Yes. Limericks are easy. They're scientifically constructed. You're an engineer. This should be just simple matter of plugging in the right words in the right mathematical location.
How different can that be from, like, video encoding?
Don't get fun, please.
Like, Fortmax could probably just, like, upscale a Blu-ray. Or upscale to Blu-ray.
And get a poem out of it.
Yeah.
You know, just run it through FFmpeg and, you know.
Yeah, he'll take a 480p source and upscale it to Blu-ray and... No, I suddenly was overcome with the idea of Fort Max reciting a limerick, and it has to happen now. We're just stuck with it now.
Gee, thanks.
You're welcome, Fort Max. Anything we can do to help.
You know it's only because we like
you. If you want to, we'll allow you to cheat and take an existing limerick and just swap out a few words for something more JD-specific.
Yeah, at this point, it's mostly just the concept of you reciting a limerick for us.
But if you can somehow work in, like, a reference to toll roads in it, that would be just ace.
And, you know, ignoring him at BotCon. That's one of my favorite JD stories.
That is my favorite JD story. Because I could perfectly envision every single second of it.
I know!
It was a movie in my head.
Yes. It totally is. I wish I could have been down there to see it myself, but yeah, the mental image I have of it is so perfect.
And it's probably accurate.
Probably. You know, I spent a few days with JD in person, so I have the idea of, you know, how animated he was when he would get excited, so... Which, I admit, sounds a little wrong when I say it that way, but, you know, you get the idea.
All over the place. Yeah.
This is superhero time. We can't say anything so it sounds right. Believe me, I know.
I think that's going to be a tagline.
It's clean enough for it.
I'm gonna find a way to
not
do
by our standards.
I'm gonna find a way to do something with that.
I meant like audio wise.
Oh, we know what you meant.
You've been listening to Superhero Time. Go to tokupodcast.com for show notes and to listen to previous episodes. Find us on iTunes or download our Android app at tfradio.net/android. Follow us on Twitter for show updates, weekly power playback, and more at superhero_time. Superhero Time is a Radio Free Cybertron production.
Need video for the next week, do we?
No, we're not. It's going to be audio only.
Okay.
So yeah. No one has to wear pants.
Not if you don't want to. Not even Ben.
Just like this week.
Well, that's more than
one. Belt.
Actually, if we really want to honor JD's memory, yeah, we should all be doing it without pants.
We should all be doing it on the toilet.
I don't know that JD ever actually did do the podcast.
We heard him from the toilet more than one time, I guarantee it.
That was
during the toilet in the background.
Yeah, that was during, like, breaks.
Yes, but it still counts.
You heard his flushes.
Although, I do have Skype on my phone.
I have Skype on my iPad.
clip from when he abandoned us during the tornado sirens and left us wondering if he was dying?
Yeah, you were the only one that really had a problem with that.
Oh, I think I did too.
It was very unsettling.
Were you there? Were you there, Ken?
Yeah, me and Mickey were like, dude, can you get, like...
I remember Mickey.
Uh-huh.
Are you sure you were there? Had you joined the show at that point?
Yeah, considering I joined it before... Considering I joined it before JD, yes. I'm pretty sure I joined the show at that point.
Are you sure?
You just started, like, last month.
That'd be about as par for the course.
So, what did you go... with the MRI for your leg?
Back now.
Oh, sorry. Did they figure anything out?
Yeah, that's not my leg.
Okay.
I don't have the MRI itself back yet.
Assuming they're guessing it's a lower back spinal column thingy.
Probably, yeah, more or less.
Bulging disc?
Considering that the doctor mashed on the sciatic nerve, like, that's not doing anything. So I'm like, nope. And then I sat up and I realized, oh, wait, the pain is originating from the back, not the leg. Oh, good.
Well, maybe not good, but...
Yeah. So we'll see.
Yeah.
Considering I've been out all week.
Have you been doing any weird lifting at work, or...?
No more weird than usual.
Well...
That doesn't sound right.
It
sounds perfect.
Have you put on any weight recently?
No, in fact, I've lost it.
Okay.
A lot?
So I noticed when I put on extra weight and I got kind of heavy, that made my leg hurt a lot worse, whereas pulling on my spine weird.
Yeah.
And my weight dropped, it stopped hurting as much. So.
Have you lost a lot of weight recently, Ken?
No, I kind of just hover around 160.
Well, damn
disgusting.
You.
Disgusting.
Kind of a bitch.
Damn you.
Yeah, damn you. Damn you for being like 70 pounds lighter than me.
Sorry.
Eat a sandwich, Jesus.
I do.
You're like half me.
I do.
I'm probably even lighter.
Never goes.
Yeah, but you already hate
Max,
me for
that. Doesn't really offend me as much.
Fortnite, yeah, you're 12. You shouldn't weigh 160 pounds.
But everything's bigger in Texas.
Except Fort Max. Fort Max was like the thinnest guy at BotCon. Well, no, Hydra might have been thinner. It's hard to say,
although,
though, because Hydra's
really
like... eight...
not a good sample of people to be comparing against.
Well, yeah, because Hydra's like 8 feet tall.
Yeah.
Yeah, Hydra's probably the tallest person there that wasn't a Hartman.
Hydra's probably the tallest person in Japan.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. I saw him in person, too, and I was like, damn, dude.
He's actually a gestalt. He's assembled from smaller humans.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to miss Hydra in a crowd.
Yeah, I noticed this. Like, what booth was that I just bought that? Oh, okay.
It was one with the guy's head sticking up 10 feet out of it.
Yes!
Alright, now everyone look at Hydra and remember where you parked.
Well, that doesn't work, because Hydra's always moving around. He's not a fixed reference point.
Well, we're
now, you know, if you tell everyone to meet at the Hydra, yeah, you're going to be fine.
You know,
so if we rigged them up with, like, a water system, could be a fire Hydra? Now that was a Paladin caliber awful pun.
It was.
I kind of liked it, though.
Super Hero Time! 次回もよろしく!
You can hear our show on Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher allows you to listen to your favorite shows directly from your iPhone, Android phone, BlackBerry, or Palm phones. On demand and on the go. Don't have Stitcher? Download it for free today at Stitcher.com or in the app stores. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio.